Welcome to episode 210 of the Family Podcast Network. You're such a bully.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network. Here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a seasoned parent, there is always something that we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is April the 15th, 2013. Our topic for today is going to be baby bullies. How babies can bully older siblings. You know, we have a tendency to think about bullying with siblingry. We're going to make that up and pretend that's a word for today. We have a tendency to assume that bullying that happens is always the older one down. And there's a reality to that. A lot of times there is that. A lot of times the older ones will use that. My wife's family comes from kind of a very, I'm not sure there's a word for it. We're going to call it kind of, I can't think of the right one. I want to choose matriarchal or patriarchal type society, but it's really not that, but it is very age-based. And so, I mean, and it doesn't matter how old you are. It's not like there's a start date for it. So the oldest one kind of tells the next younger one what to do, and the next younger one tells the next younger one what to do. I mean, all the way down to the 6-year-old will tell the 3-year-old what to do. And it's very much like that. Well, we kind of think of it down. It's a top-down effect. However, I see, or at least I've seen over the last few years of doing this with people in my office, just as many little babies, little young kids, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, that figure out how to bully their older siblings, and they make it work. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. Before we get into that, guys, let's, of course, go through our housekeeping if you want to get notified of new episodes. Maybe you're a new listener, and you're like, man, I love this stuff, but, you know, he kicks these things out, and I don't always have the chance to sit down and listen to this. If you go to thefamilypodcastnetwork.com, over on the right-hand side, you can enter your name and your email address. What that'll mean is you get simple emails every so often, just whenever I put it, it's just 3 times a week, whenever you get a new episode, it'll pop out. That means that inside your inbox, there'll be a little email that'll just say, hey, there's a new episode, here's what the title is, and here's what we talk about. It's small, it's simple, there's no graphics, I don't sell you anything. It's just a convenience for you guys to make sure that you never miss that episode, that if you just would have heard this week, it would have changed everything. That's there for you guys. Sign up for that. Guys, also don't forget to like us over on Facebook and share this episode. I'm really trying to recruit folks. I have been watching us, and let me tell you, FPN has been growing so fast over the last 2 years now. It's amazing how quickly. But man, we have plateaued. And one of the reasons that we've done that is that large part is Facebook has kind of gone turd on us. I mean, I know they want to make money, and I'm out dogging on them for wanting to make money. I'm proud of them for running smart business. Smart business makes money, and they need to make money. On the flip side of that, it also puts me in a position to where I can't reach nearly as many people as I used to. I used to could reach 25,000 people a day. Now it's more like around 2 to sometimes 2,400 a day as people that I can reach. That's a pretty significant difference, which means the amount of people that I'm growing is going down. How do I get that? You guys got to share it for me. When you guys share that, that's not just to be a butt. It's not self-seeking. It's about trying to get more people who are ready to connect with people just like you, just like me, that believe the way we believe. It's about getting them in here. And the only way we can do that is when you guys share that out. You bump what's called my edge rank. You'll go look that up. Go look up your edge rank. Really, it's a pretty ingenious. A lot of people are really upset that run their websites and advertise on Facebook. It's really a pretty ingenious idea. However, on the flip side of that, it also makes my life a heck of a lot easier. I mean, a heck of a lot more difficult now. So if you guys get a chance, share this episode out. Throw some words out. That's especially beneficial. I try to make the titles as eye-catching and fun and poppy as I can. You know, like baby bullies. That's probably going to get people's attention. I do that for a little bit of shock value. I'm going to be straight with you. But, I mean, you got to make people go, well, crap, what's in there? I want to read that. You know, and then they jump in there and listen to the show. What's even better is when you throw out some quick words. So consider doing that. Just throw out, oh my gosh, you talked about this. Or you can even get controversial and say, I think Trey's a load of crap for talking about that. That's fine. I love that. Share those things out. We appreciate it. Guys, don't forget, check us out at the blog. I've had a few submissions for the blog. in terms of like some stuff that we could throw up there. And I'm gonna be frank, it sucks. I mean, some of that is because I'm comparing it to my wife, and she's so eloquent at what she writes. And a lot of this other stuff is so informational. It's not bad information. It's not even wrong. But it's written in a way that I'm like, this is really freaking boring. And I'm not going to put that out there for you guys if it's going to be so daggum boring. So I'm waiting for some good stuff from other people. I've rejected about two of them now because they're just so poor. One guy the other day said, well, I really don't write these myself. I'm kind of a company that does this for somebody. But feel free to change them up all you want. And I'm just like, are you crapping serious? All right, I'm going to leave that alone because that's not what we're going to talk about today. And I want to get through this. I'm starting really late tonight and because I had a great conversation with a buddy of mine on the phone. But anyway, I'm not going to get into that today. But go check it out. My wife writes the blogs over there. And let me tell you, she's flipping awesome in the way she writes. Now, I'm not just saying that she's my wife. I'm a very frank and earnest person when it comes to the relationship with my wife, because she takes that. That's the way she prefers things. It's very straightforward. She doesn't like beating around the bush. And if it sucked, guys, I would tell you. And, I mean, I would be very upfront, you know, very forthcoming about that. She writes so good. You've got to go check. I mean, there's not words that I can say that don't come off like I'm trying to market her. You just got to go check her out at least once. Just go look at and go read one of her blogs. And if you don't get hooked on how she writes, I will be shocked. Go check it out. You want to talk about the lady who's on the ground doing everything we talk about on this show? You want to talk about the lady who is on the front line every day homeschooling these kids or unschooling these kids at home? I mean, she's the one you want to listen to because the stories are there. Got to go check her out. Guys, also, you want to support the show, 30 cents per episode. If you're saying, man, I really want to see this show expand, I want more people to connect with this. Guys, consider becoming a PTACer. That's Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. That's just kind of our funny little play on the group PETA. But if you feel like you're getting 30 cents, three dimes out of every single one of these in information, support, understanding, even if it's just that issue of, wow, we are not the only people that think this way. I mean, seriously, when I started realizing there were other people that thought and saw things the way that I did, it was a relief, man, because I started this podcast before I even knew these folks were out here. And it wasn't until years later that I discovered Facebook pages like Free Your Kids and Kicking It Homeschool and whatnot. And it wasn't until I met these folks that I went, oh, Corey and I aren't crazy. There are other people out here that are doing this. If you are appreciating what you're getting out of that, consider becoming a PTACer. Guys, it's not expensive, but you'd be amazed at how far it can take me down the road when it comes to this stuff. $5 per episode, or $5 a month can do a huge thing. We've got a page set up. You'll click on PTACer in the upper hand bar for me. Consider doing that today. Run over there. TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. Click on PTACer. Jump on over there. You make a quick donation. You can use PayPal. It is super simple. You can have it done in 3 minutes. If you become a member, it'll put you on what's called the PTACer membership status. So when you sign in, I'm creating a page for you guys right now. I've hired out a lady who's working on it right now. We got some other of the issues on the internet, on the website squared away. They did a wonderful job. I'm going to build you guys a page, and you guys are going to get some special stuff out of that. So some things that not everybody else is going to get. It's going to be some exclusive stuff. I'm not going to offer it to anybody else but PTACers. So consider becoming a PTACer as well. We're going to offer some value back to you guys. Next off, if you have any questions, comments, topics, encouragement you want to throw out, Trey, I love what you're doing. We want it. I want it. I'm going to be honest, guys. I love getting that kind of stuff. Questions, comments, what about this, the topic on that. I want it from you. There's a bunch of ways you can get to us with that. You can always email us at TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. You can leave us an internet voicemail over on the right side. You got to leave it to 30 seconds, so you got to talk quick. Let us know what show that you're wanting it for. So a real quick issue would be, hello, my name is so-and-so. This is a question for the Family Podcast Network. We do have several other shows, the Real Family Guys podcast, as well as the marriage podcast that my wife and I do together. So let us know which one, and quickly as you can. By that time, you probably got 25 seconds to ask your questions, and we can do that too, guys. If there's somebody out there that's thinking, Trey, we need that longer, let me know. We'll see what we can do. I'm not going to do it unless there's enough follow-up from people saying, yeah, we want that. Next up, guys, you can always call us on the phone, 661-PARENT-0. Again, that is the number 661 parent and zero. You can call us and it leaves, guys, that does not go to a direct line to me. That goes to my Google voice address. You will leave a voicemail on that Google voice address. It'll get sent to me, and then I will air it on the show for you and answer your question. Guys, you can also go to the contact us page at thefamilypodcastnetwork.com and click on that, or you can always go and talk to us on Facebook. We have a lot of good discussions going on over there. All right. I breezed through that really fast today, largely because it's so stinking late. But then the second part of this is we got a good topic for today. I'm pumped up. I mean, considering how late it is, this is how fired up I am. Now, My cup of coffee that I did have very late in the evening is helping some, but I'm going to be straight. I can get sleepy, tired, and I mean, like, I've almost fallen asleep on a mic before recording once, and coffee doesn't always help it. But let me tell you today, ooh, man, baby bullies. This topic is so good. This is good. So that's right. I mean, what y'all heard me say is right. We're going to talk a little bit about baby bullying older siblings because it happens. I know a lot of people are like, you know, this is ludicrous, right? No, it's really not. It happens, and it happens really often. So some kids, and it's really a fascinating phenomenon, but some kids actually learn to bully at really, really young ages. And I've seen it as early as 2 years old. Now, some people might say, oh, Trey, I've seen my one-year-old do it. Maybe. Maybe. Can it happen at younger than two? I'm sure that there are some kids that can figure that out. I struggle with it, and some of that is just a neurological issue. The parts of the brain that are particularly connected with deception and deceiving typically aren't very active before that age. Like a lot of kids, oh, he's just crying to get some attention. You know, the one-year-old or the six-month-old, just trying to get attention. I'm a firm, staunch advocate for that's a load of crap. No, they're not. When little babies cry, it's because they need something. And that is the only way that they've been pre-programmed on how to express that. It's they're hungry. They're wet. They're, you know, thirsty. You know what I'm saying? They're cold. They're hot. They're not feeling well. They're sick. That is the way that they communicate these things. I mean, and as they get older into the one and a halfs, do I think it's possible for kids to get to that point to where they can bully olders? Yeah, I think they can. But I think in a lot of cases, a lot of it is just kids trying to get their needs met. But definitely around two, you can definitely start to see where kids begin to figure this kind of stuff out. And they begin to realize that if they say and do certain things with adults, they can get what they want from siblings using adult. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. And I think it's going to be a really good show. And anyway, let's talk real quick about what is it that got me started on this. And so I want to tell you guys a little story of something that happened real recently. It was all kind of started when I saw this young little kiddo at a park. We were at the park with my family. We were out there playing on the play set and out there with all the toys and whatnot. And this little young kiddo was playing out on this play set. And all of my kiddos were out there as well. Sans Charlotte, my little 9, 10 month, it's almost 11 month old, my little 10 month old daughter. She was out there with all of my kiddos, and this one little boy was just being incredibly bossy with everybody, including my kids. And this little kid, I'm gonna guess he was probably like around 2 years old or so, began throwing this huge fit when Grant wouldn't basically relinquish the swing that he was on. Now, I want you guys to understand, he'd been there for quite a long time. I mean, it wasn't like he had just gotten there or he raced and beat this kid there. I mean, he'd been sitting on this plane interacting with the other kids for a really long time. And this little kid came up and wanted a swing there because his little friend, you know, his little friend had gotten in a swing next to him and started swinging. So this little kid began throwing this fit when Grant wouldn't get out of the swing. And you see, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this later, but in our household, I mean, I've taught Grant and all my kids, but I've taught my kids that nobody takes something without your permission. Or nobody takes anything unless, like, you're using something to violate other people's rights. And so, like, it's not okay for anybody, mom and dad included, to walk up and just grab something out of your hand. Unless it violates, you know, unless you have permission to do it. Life-threatening and you don't understand, like if a kid's lining up a butter knife or something like that, right? Or if it violates somebody else's rights. So if a kid has a toy and he throws it at somebody's head and then you bring it back to him and say, do not throw that at it. And then they throw it again, right? Now, it's that person's right to feel safe and to feel comfortable and to not be afraid of a toy sailing across the school and donking them in the eyeball, right? That's a person's fundamental right to feel safe. So if it violates that, then something can be taken away from, right? So we teach our kids that. And my son just looked this little boy in the face and said, he said, get out of this swing. He just looked at him and said, no. Now, a lot of you are like, oh, that's not very nice. He's not sharing, blah, 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 blah. No, I hear what you're saying, guys. But I'm going to shoot straight with you. I was proud of my son for that. Not because he was being resistant. Not because he was, quote, unquote, fighting this kid. but because he knew what his right was and he was going to stand up for it. I'm so proud of him. Now, we teach our kids to share when they want to, under their terms. And one of those terms that we teach our kids is that if somebody's throwing a fit, if somebody's whining, if somebody's being a bully, if somebody's being mean or pushy, you do not have to share with them. That they are required to build relationship with them. This has been particularly difficult for my youngest daughter because my youngest daughter, she's a three, and she's still coming right out of those twos and threes to where it's just, you know, give it to me, right? You know, mine, this is mine. And so it's been particularly difficult for her because we teach our kids, if Cora is not going to be polite and kind to you, you don't have to give her anything. And that means that we have to deal with some screaming, we have to deal with some fits, but it is about honoring my kids' rights to not have things stolen from them or yanked away or taken from them solely because she's a little kid and we don't want to listen to the crying and the screaming. She doesn't know any better. So we really push that. It's very off the cuff. It's very different than what most people are used to. So this little 2-year-old kiddo was told no by my son, and I watched him walk over to these parents. Listen to this. This is where it gets just bake your noodle nuts. He walked over to his parents, and I could see him sitting there talking, and he was pointing back at my son and just back and forth. And listen to this. See, that doesn't bake my noodle. This is what makes my noodle. I watched those parents get up, and I saw them moving in. So I started scooching in close so I could hear how this was going to go. And I watched those parents begin to get up and begin to tell my son that he needed to get out of his swing. I mean, they were actually going to encourage Grant to leave. So you better believe that I stepped in on this one. I said, no. I mean, your child is not allowed. I said, your kiddo is not allowed to come and get this swing without some kind of permission. I said, I've been watching the situation, and trust me, if my son like raced him for it, or if my son pushed him out of the swing or yanked it out of his hands when he was using it, I said, believe me, we would not be having this conversation. I said, me and my son will be back having a totally different convo about this. I said, but he was here first. He's been playing on it, and your son was trying to bully him out of that. Let me tell you, their face went white when I suggested that that's what it was. Oh, he's not bullying. He didn't hit him or push him or do anything like that. So I looked at him, I said, so then tell me what you're doing here. And they said, well, our son just, and they launched into the story. I'm gonna spare you guys the details on this. But I looked at my son and I said, son, our same rules still apply. I said, you do not have to relinquish the swing. You are absolutely just fine. And you know what my son said? My son looked at him, he said, tell you what, no, you can't have the swing right now. But I will take a fast turn for you, and you can have a turn here in 2 minutes. I mean, wow. First off, I was elated. I was so proud of my son. I just wanted to run over there and just snatch him up, just smooch him on his little face and just be like, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. You know what I mean? But let me tell you, that little kid was not happy. And let me tell you, the little parents weren't happy about it either. And the kid threw a big old fit. But fit and all, I was very happy with the outcome. Because the right thing was done. A few days later, Corey and I were sitting down. My wife and I, we kind of have our coffee in the morning talk. We like to sit down in the morning. We pour a cup of coffee and we just sit down and talk. You know, we try to get up and do it before the kids are up. But if they are up, then we send them out of the room and it's called mommy and daddy time. And we just sit down and we talk about what's going on. It can be whatever. It can be relevant to what's going on in our lives or something spiritual or sometimes just simple as frustrations of the day, right? It can be anything. We're sitting down talking about that, and the kids are in the back playing, and each one of them kept coming in the room, and just, you know, except my oldest daughter, Anna, but Grant and Cora just kept coming in, you know, Grant hit me, and you know, Cora punched me, and Cora, you know, Grant just bit me, and just back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And Corey and I were sitting down talking about it, and we realized that it really, really irritates us. And we were kind of having a hard time putting our finger, why does this bother us so much? Why does this upset us? And so, you know, I'm going to split this up in kind of two different ways to look at this. For those of you out there, I know we have a lot of listeners that are followers of the Christian Bible, like Corey and I are. And so, we kind of realize it kind of comes back to like a righteous anger. Now, for those of you that I know we have a lot in the audience that also don't follow the Christian Bible, so just think about it this way. Just that morally, being upset about something that is morally wrong, seeing something that is morally wrong. Like I saw a little picture on Facebook the other day of two bullies these two big kids, they were sitting there roughing this little kid up. And I mean, there was just a part of me that was just so angry about this, because I could just tell that these two kids were impressing their will, bullying this other little kid because they were bigger and there was more of them, right? And so I just, you know, we really came to the conclusion that it's that anger about something, you know, that's not right happening. And here's why. What was happening with this young little kid? What was happening with my kids that morning? You see, these little kids, both that other parents and ours, were trying to enforce their will on others by using adults. Little boy at the swing was trying to get what he wanted from my son by enlisting his parents and the quote-unquote authority that they were supposed to carry because they are adults to get what he wants. Now, first off, for a two-year-old, I mean, that is freaking brilliant. I don't mean that in like a, oh, wow, he's an awesome kid type of way. But I mean that, I mean, how clever is that? That a two-year-old can put that crap together. But you see, little kids can very easily, very quickly, and very frequently bully older siblings, and even those that aren't siblings, to their parents. And why is this such an issue? Why am I even bringing this up? Why is this a topic for today? You know, in the Gibson household, we have a belief system that's very core and fundamental to just about everything that you're hearing here. See, we believe in what we call constitutional liberties. You see, we have a belief system that my rights, my kids' rights, my wife's rights are inherent due to the fact that we are born as what's called sovereign beings. Now, I think some of the Christians out there are going to have a hard time with this. And they're going to hear sovereign, and one of the immediate things they're going to think is like God, right? And that's not how we're defining this word here. And we're not calling ourselves God by any stretch of the imagination. But whenever we say sovereign, we talk about sovereignty. What are we talking about? We're defining sovereignty as relationships that are free of coercion. Okay, so I think we need to spend a little time. I'm sorry to go semantics here on you. But what does coercion mean? Coercion is the act of compelling through authority. So when we say that we believe and teach that every single one of us has personal sovereignty, from my little kids all the way up to me, what we're saying is we have the right to a relationship that is free from the act of compelling through authority. You are going to do what I'm telling you to do because I'm your boss. You're going to do what I tell you to do because I'm your mom or because I'm your dad. Personal sovereignty does not support that level of thinking. And you see, that is very, very mold-breaking, because that's the majority of what our parents, our philosophy of teaching says. I'm the parent, you're the kid, you're going to do what I say. So parents then begin gobbling up what they perceive as power to try to leverage that. They buy their kids cell phones and iPads and iPhones, and they hand them out to them and say, here's this for you and here's that for you and here's your car and I'll pay for your insurance. And of course, they'll complain and gripe about it the whole time. But why do we do that? Because it's leverage. Because it gives us what we feel is a perceived authority over our kids. Why do I have a problem with that? A lot of parents hate that. Well, what's the problem with that, Trey? There's no property right there. When we give somebody a gift, if you go and buy a gift for somebody, like let's say, like I have employees that work underneath me. I go and buy gifts for them as incentive. And when I see them do good things, hey man, here's this. I want you to have this. You know, here you go, ma'am. You've done a wonderful job this week. I want you to have this. Do I ever expect that to come back to me? Never. Even if they were to mess up, even if I were to fire them today, if I were to send their butts packing and take your gear, I don't want to see you in this office again, would I take back those? No, because they're gifts. That's called personal property. So you see, that's why personal sovereignty is very against the grain for most parenting. Because parents like to give these things, these gifts, they say, so they can leverage them and then use them to take away. Well, if you don't do what I ask, you can't keep your phone. You're grounded from your PlayStation. But we believe in personal sovereignty and teaching that to our kids. It's a very difficult thing, guys. I don't want you to hear me say that we've nailed it, because we have. Sorry. I'm sorry. The cultural reference to that cracked me up just for a minute there. But we have not gotten there. We have not attained perfection in this. We screw up just about as much as we get it right now. We're still kind of in that phase. I think we're starting to get on the other side of things. Maybe like 60-40. I mean, yeah, I would be really excited if we are there. Well, so we still mess this up, but we're moving to that mentality. Because when we move from that mentality, we begin moving away from that positional power. I'm the dad, you know, I'm the mom, you're the kid, you're going to do what I say because I have that authority, right? Again, that's coercion. The act of compelling somebody through my authority is coercion. So what do? We teach our kids that they are sovereign beings, that they are free from being compelled through authority. We teach them that they can require kindness, respect, thoughtfulness for compliance. If you want me to comply to what you say, you're going to have to build a relationship with me. We teach our kids that. You see, that's why, that's probably the other reason why we homeschool. Because there are a lot of teachers that demand compliance, but they are not ready to offer out the relationship part of it. They demand that you do what they tell you to do, but they are not ready to pony up kindness and respect for it. Now, I can already hear the emails that are going to roll in from teachers. Yes, there are wonderful teachers out there. There are beautiful teachers out there, and I mean that physically and emotionally, but I'm particularly talking about character reference here. There are wonderful people out there that are teaching. There also are many that are not. But we are adamantly training our kids that they do not have to comply with somebody unless they are offering those things, and we make them do it amongst each other as well. And again, I want to reiterate one more time here, guys. We are not, my wife and I are not always shining examples of this. We don't always nail it. We sometimes jack it up. We mess it up. But do you see what I'm referencing here? Our little young ones will frequently try to use their parents' authority to force their will on others, to demand compliance to what they want to their parents. I mean, that's such a fascinating thing. I was sitting there talking with my wife about this little young man. We were sitting there visiting, and I was like, you know, that little man gets everything he wants. I watched him doing it. He wasn't selective towards my kid or anybody else's. I mean, I saw his little siblings there too, and you know what? He had older brother and sister there as well, running around. And you know what? They were bending right around his little finger too. They ran all around doing everything he would say. They would do it, and I could tell by their body language that not everything that he was asking they were happy with, but they did it anyway. Why? You see, they had been bullied into submission through the parents. And I think it's easy for us to look at this extreme example and say, oh, well, that doesn't happen to me. Does it not? Maybe it doesn't. But I want to encourage you to really look this week, especially if you have a little baby in the house, and you got some olders that are in the house as well. The little kid come running to you, Dad, so-and-so did this. He won't let me have that. Trevor, give your little brother that. Trevor, don't mess with, you know. You see what happens there? Little kids are pretty smart. I'm going to keep it short today. Let's wrap it up on these last things. How do we combat this? Or at least how do I accept? I don't think this is an exhaustive list. I'm not even necessarily sure that this is the only way to do it. But let me tell you the Casa de Gibson approach to this. How do we combat baby bullying? Number one, I encourage you to teach your kids that they do not have to accept being compelled through someone else's authority, right? Again, we talk about that's coercion. They do not have to accept that. Now, if your kid's still in public school, I'm going to tell you something. This is not going to be compatible. Just not. At least not for most. Now, you could get lucky. I mean, you could get lucky, blessed, whatever you want to call it, and just your kid manages to find those amazing teachers. I really think I did. I grew up in the public school, and I think I just found those amazing teachers every year. Because I tell you, I saw the other classes. And then, of course, I had a few, you know, I say all that, I had a few of the teachers that made me hate school. No, that's the wrong way. That by the time I got done, I felt like I hated school. I mean, they're out there. But regardless, I encourage you to teach your kids that they do not have to accept being compelled to simple authority. People must build relationship with them. They must be kind. They must be respectful. Why do we teach that? What is a fundamental belief system that we follow at the Family Podcast Network is that we teach people how to treat us. And that if you do not demand respect and kindness take longer. They really do. It's a lot easier if you want to get to the front of a line just to push somebody and knock them over. To get to the front of a line, right? But respect and kindness might say that I have to wait behind you or ask politely. And they may say no. And I may have to accept that. That takes a lot more work. That's more difficult. But this mentality says that we expect people to treat us that way. How do we combat this? Number one, teach kids that they do not have to accept being compelled through authority. Number two, teach kindness and understanding and thoughtfulness, all of those wonderful things. Teach your kid these things. You see, my kids frequently get confused for obedient children. They're not. We don't teach them to obey. We teach them to question everything. And let me tell you, it works. But we do teach our kids to be kind and to be nice, to be thoughtful. Be caring. And that often gets confused, is that? When my kids are sitting there helping the other siblings fill up their glasses, or they're picking them up, or they're taking care of them, my son's rolling on the floor with the 10-month-old playing with her. They see this as some kind of, oh, your kids are so obedient, so good. And we tell them, no, they're really not. We don't teach them to be that way. We teach them to be these things. Teach your kids these things. Because what you're teaching them is the flip side to that equation. First off, you don't have to take crap from people if they're not willing to build a relationship. The second side of that is you got to go and build relationships with people. And then third, when it comes to kids trying to use your authority to enforce their will on others, Mom, you did that. And you just want that crying to stop. You just want that crap to be done. Right? When you're wanting that, don't let them win on that. Require them to go back to that room and to talk that out. Somebody will come out to us and they'll say, Mom, Dad, so-and-so bit me. We don't get up and go in there and say, don't bite your sister. Don't bite your brother. We don't do that. Because what does that teach them? It teaches them that little Cora can come to Mommy and Daddy and make me do what I want. We don't want that. What we want is we want Cora to build a good relationship with Grant so she can say, Grant, please don't bite me. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. We want our daughter to learn that she has within her the capabilities to solve her own problems. We want our son to recognize that he can stop poor behaviors himself. We're trying to move him out of a victim-mindedness into proactiveness and resiliency. So don't let your kids come to you to enforce what they want through your authority. Require them to go work it out. What we do is they come to Dad, so-and-so bit me. Our first question is, so what do you do? Now our kids know now. I go ask him and tell him. Very good. And I'm going to be honest. I'm going to say probably 9 times out of 10. I hear him go in there, Grant, please don't bite me. Okay. Thank you, Gant. It happens. Now, guys, I'm not going to tell you that it happens every time. Maybe 9 out of 10 is ambitious for a statistic. But I'm telling you, this stuff is starting to work. And I'll tell you, it's worked so well that my oldest daughter, really, it's not an issue for her anymore. She's got it. She's discovered that the key is not about telling what I want you to do. It's about building relationship with you so that you want to do those things for me. She's discovered that with both of them, with Grant and Cora. My next two are still working on it. Grant's starting to figure it out. He's starting to get it, but because Cora struggles with it so much, they're still a little bit at odds, but they're starting to get it. I can't go to Mommy and Daddy to get Grant to do what I want. I can't talk to Mom and Dad and get Cora to stop doing that. I'm going to have to work it out with you. Well, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids. Boom! And even those that aren't. Guys, I want to say a quick thank you to all of you guys who were patient with me last week as we had that nasty little stomach bug. Man, I tell you guys, it roughed me the junk up all the way up through Real Family Guys Podcast. I could not deal with the idea of leaving you guys without, like, the two shows out for the week. I just couldn't stomach that. So I told Jeff, let's link up and record this. And we did, and I had to stop a couple times, take care of some business. And but that stomach bug was a nasty little fart. And I appreciate you guys and your understanding with that. It moved from family member to family member. Everybody except Grant got it out of my very large family. So it was messy. Blech. It was very, very messy. But we're squared away on that. Put like $1 million today. Thanks again for y'all's patience. I really do appreciate that. Guys, hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful week. Hope your Monday is either going well or ended well, depending on when you're listening to this, either Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whenever you're listening to this, guys. Sure, appreciate you guys. Have a great week. We'll talk to y'all on Wednesday.